Hello and welcome to today's Lamplighter. If you were with us last time, we went 100 miles an hour talking with Michelle Earls and Laura Taylor, who used to work with us at the station until she got married and had four good, wonderful children. And we're discussing more continuation from last time, where they're dealing with the classical conversation curriculum for homeschooling and very involved it is. Michelle, tell us briefly again. You are the local area director or coordinator for this.
Yep. Area representative for Downstate Illinois.
And you're out of Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what classical conversations are.
Sure. So classical conversations is a curriculum, but more than that, it's a community. So our families meet once a week in a variety of locations across Illinois and around the world even. And we come together to study using the trivium. So those three roads to learning: grammar, dialectic, and rhetoric.
And grammar. You didn't make those up.
Your author didn't make those up.
She discovered those that were used for centuries past.
Absolutely.
Tell us what they mean.
So God designed our brain to work in different ways at different stages. And so when our kids are little, they memorize facts really easily, good, bad, and indifferent. So we want to give them great material to study. After they've mastered those memory pegs, then they can compare ideas in that dialectic phase where they're asking hard questions and they want to go a little bit deeper and they're deciding which ideas have merit and which don't.
Okay.
And then they move into that rhetoric stage where they really become the teachers. To be rhetorical with something means you can teach it back to someone else. So in the challenge stage of classical conversations, our students are leading the seminars in those upper levels.
This is really good.
It's
because they're capable of leadership.
Yes.
They're capable of the critical thinking and not just being able to say it to their friends, but speaking it out.
Right.
The intent is that you can get these children, when they get to be in their 20s and 30s, to be able to speak clearly to the community out there about our faith that's within us and the hope and the reason of why Christ, his resurrection, the ascension, why the scriptures speak specifically to the salvation of the cross. And it's not just John 3:16, but everything else in the New Testament.
Yeah, Old Testament and New Testament. Yeah, everything pointing toward Christ. Absolutely.
And how, and then how our rest of our world comes together, understanding maths, the sciences, the literatures, the histories, and so on.
Right.
And this is a very robust curriculum. It's the first time I've seen details of it. I strongly encourage people to consider homeschooling. There's a lot of good Christian schools that are doing a tremendous ministry. And there are still good people in the public school also having an effect. But if you're sold on homeschooling, as I was, as we were with our kids in the younger years, this is something worth looking at. But it is not for the weak. And this is not something you push the play button and go make a cake in the kitchen, is it,
right,
Laura?
No.
You're with those kids.
Yeah.
Tell us. How often are you actually engaged with your four kids in actual learning Monday through Friday?
All day long.
No, I mean looking at the curriculum itself.
At this curriculum, we practice what we call the new grammar for each week together, probably an average of 30 minutes a day. But if we're in the van, we have everything on audio CDs. And even today, on the way to my mom's, we had that on. And
so
we're
willing to learn and between that.
Yeah.
That's good, because I can't get my kids to study 5 minutes at a time. They have to wait for a 45-minute period. But if you were to crunch it all together, how much time do you spend in serious learning?
We usually are from like 8 to noon.
Okay.
And
you can get a really
solid
exposure to learning in those 4 good hours.
Yeah. And that's transitioning. You know, Colburn and I will do something together for a little bit, and he'll go do something independently, and I'll work with Emerson, and then
the idea is that when you're in a traditional school setting, there's a lot of time that's wasted going to the locker, getting your books, and so on.
But just the sheer number of students, too, right? Your student-to-teacher ratio is pretty good,
yes.
Right? 4-to-1.
Yeah.
But you have the community thing as well. Tell us, you're at home, do I understand, 4 days a week, and community 1 day a week?
Yes.
So what happens on community on Wednesday, Michelle? What do they do?
So on a community day, depending on the level, our foundation students meet from 9 to noon, and they open together in a word of prayer. They work together on a scripture memorization, and then they break off into their individual classrooms. Again, keeping it small, the tutors have no more than 8 in a classroom, and parents are right there alongside the students to help out and to be modeled to as well. So we do that until noon, then we have community lunch together, and then in the afternoons, we have a program that focuses on intense English grammar, so like the nuts and bolts of grammar, and then how to write well. So we use Institute for Excellence in Writing.
Is it becoming lost arts?
Yes, absolutely. So we teach them how to write well and how to think through the process of writing. And then we play math games for about a half an hour with that. But where where I am with my kids being a little bit older, we're in the challenge program with two of our students. And that, it takes us about 6 hours a day at home, just working on all of the work.
You're learning a lot too, aren't
you? I really
you?
Am. I really am. And then on Community Day, theirs is like a, it's like a celebration day. We come in and we get to celebrate everything we've learned together. And we integrate subjects. We don't. God did. You know, yes. He made it all. And so everything points back to him, but all the subjects point to one another as well. So our conversation that starts out about the book and literature may then move into a history lesson about what was going on at the same time in colonial America. And yes. What did that look like?
See, this history is so important. Right. Some people don't know what the Middle Ages are, what the Holy Roman Empire was.
Sure.
They don't understand who Tyndale, Coverdale, Wycliffe was essential to the English Bible. Mm-hmm. Who's Wycliffe? Is that a missions organization? Well, it's a good missions organization, but they named them themselves after a man that stood strong on the idea of putting the Bible in the hands of the common person.
Right.
When you know this history, the from like 1300 on till now, and understand how Europe developed to where we have our freedoms of religion today and so on, it's absolutely and stunning. And to be able to put your children into this concept would tremendously make a difference. Now, Michelle, this seems like it would go really well with students who would be A and B students, but does this work with students who might be C and struggling students?
You know, the part that I love is that everything is customizable. You can tailor it to meet the needs of your students. So my 10-year-old, it's going to sound terrible, he just learned how to read fluently this past summer.
That's
just around 10.
A bad deal.
It's not a bad thing, because he would rather build forts
boy,
and
right?
play in the mud. Right.
Yeah, sometimes.
And so we didn't push. We didn't tell him he was behind. We didn't make him feel bad.
Clicked.
And it clicked. And now you can't keep the kid away from books. He's got an audio book on his head all the time.
And if it was
in front of him
in another school setting, you would have lost him.
Right. And we love books at our house. And we wanted him to love it. So we just kept giving him great stuff to think about. And
that alone, you saved him being able to get him to read. It wasn't a cognitive problem. It was just the manner in which he was maturing.
Sure. So how do we change it a little bit at home so that he can thrive? You know, we look at each student individually and we say to the parent, okay, this is the assignment in the guide, but you're the teacher. So if you need to scale that back, you scale it back and just communicate with me so that in the classroom we can have a healthy, robust conversation without making your student feel like he or she is behind.
Well, I think this is really a good approach. There's other good ones too, but Laura, you guys have worked hard to make this available to the public, and you have two different levels. One is kind of an open house where they see it in practice. Mm-hmm. Another is question-answer times. I want you to go through the schedule of when you're offering to have people just come observe what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what are those days?
Okay, for the open house dates, March 15th, be from 9 to noon. March 29th, also 9 to noon. And then April 5th, 9 to noon. And I will add again about no nuts allowed.
Well, I'm not coming.
we have a little girl that has a very severe peanut allergy, so we've just had to say,
even
you
the
know,
dust can
yeah,
cause
no
trouble.
Peanut butter and jelly.
And you also said March 1st earlier. We
yes,
may try
I
to
did.
Get this on the air, but catch them. March 1st, the 15th, March the 29th, April 5th, 9 to 12 at Center Point Church across the street from Caesar's Pizza, the old Rural King store. Not the new one.
Yes.
Don't go in there. They're not in aisle 7. The old one.
Yes.
And then you also have some question and answer times for parents to come and
some
talk to you in.
Some information meetings. Yeah, we have those coming up. We have one in Vandalia on March 9th. And this will be in the evening from 7 to 9 p.m. This is a chance just to ask more questions. If you come and see it, then you're probably going to have a lot of questions.
What's the cost? How do I get involved? I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yes.
Can I do this? And that kind of thing. So
absolutely.
Vandalia, March the 9th, 7 to 9.
Yes.
And you'll tell us later. And go to the website on our WJOY.org. We will have those details as they show up.
Yeah.
But also,
here in Ramsey on March 20th, again from 7 to 9 p.m. here at the radio station.
At the radio station.
Graciously going to
host
for
us. Nice big room for that. I hope that works out.
Yeah,
and
it'll be perfect. And then in Altamont on April 3rd, again from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Open Door Diner, which is downtown in Altamont.
Okay. Can't miss that.
Yeah.
So this is a way to find out. And again, like I said, there's a lot of good curriculums out there. To me, the biggest thing about homeschooling is that you're actively engaged with your student. Mm-hmm. If you set them down in front of a CD and they push play, that can do it. That can make a difference. But unless you're there, they engage with their parents. God gave those kids to you. And the more you work with them at every level, the more they will trust and learn. And they may leave temporarily in their emotional world as they get to be in their teenage years and their 20s and so on. But the chances of them returning back to the things they were taught is much stronger when you engage yourself with those children and you become a part of their lives at every level. Don't plug them in and just walk away. Mm-hmm. Homeschooling has got to be massively engaging. So now, Michelle, you are the, what's your particular position in the area?
Sure. So I'm the area representative for Downstate Illinois. And that means that I get to help people like Laura and other community leaders around the Downstate area get the communities off the ground, help them reach out to families that might be blessed by being a part of our CC communities.
Okay.
And then I also help provide training locations throughout the summer. So we have 9 training events all around Downstate Illinois happening this summer, everywhere from Bloomington to Decatur. We're hopefully going to we do, classicalconversations.com, and you can go right there and learn about those parent practicum events.
In short, is the cost prohibitive? Is it medium? Is it light? Is it manageable, Laura? Is it manageable?
It's been very manageable for us to have all 3 of the boys.
So you can find out more what that means.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I got about 10 seconds left. So go to the website, learn more about this. Classical Conversations, we've been talking with Michelle Earls, representative for the curriculum, and then Laura Taylor, who also has been using this with your kids, as you would say, very successfully.
Yes, extremely.
Well, I look forward to seeing how this may develop in the community. So thanks so much for joining us here on The Lamplighter. Laura, Michelle, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.